Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf lamed beis, and we are at the beginning of the new perek, the fourth perek in Masechta Sanhedrin daf lamed beis amud aleph. Zok t'mishnah. Echad dinei mominois, ve'echad dinei nefashois bedrisha ubechakira. So the mishnah begins with a halacha that both dinei mominois and dinei nefashois have in common. So the first mishnah already told us that the way Bezdin judge Dinei Mominus and the way Bezdin judged Dinei Nefashis was very, very different. Dinei Mominus b'shloisha, Dinei Nefashis b'esrim b'shloisha. This Mishnah is going to list 10 differences between Dinei Mominus and Dinei Nefashis. However, it begins by stating a similarity. So both Dinei Mominus, monetary cases, v'Dinei Nefashis, cases of capital punishment, require drisha v'chakira. They require cross-examination of the edim before Bezdin can reach a verdict. Shenamar, how do I know that? Because the pasuk says mishpat echad yelochem. Rashi explains that in the parasha of Dinei Nefashis it says v'darashta v'chakarta. V'darashta means drisha, v'chakarta means chakira. So it says it by Dinei Nefashis, and then the pasuk says mishpat echad yelochem, which says that you should judge Dinei Mominus and Dinei Nefashis in the same way, which then would mean back of the envelope arithmetic. If Dinei Nefashis has a din v'darashta v'chakarta, Dinei Mominus also has to have a din of v'darashta v'chakarta. Says the Mishnah, stating that ma b'dinei mominus l'dinei nefashis. What are some of the differences between Dinei Mominus and Dinei Nefashis? And we're going to have a long list, almost all of which is going to be discussed in detail in the Gemara. Dinei Mominus b'shloisha, v'dinei nefashis b'esrim b'shloisha. As mentioned, we know that already from the first Mishnah in the Masechta. Dinei Mominus poischem bein l'schus bein l'chayva. Dinei Mominus Bezdin would make its opening remarks l'schus or l'chayva. We'll see what that means. V'dinei nefashis poischem l'schus v'ein poischem l'chayva. Dinei Mominus matan al pi edecha bein l'schus bein l'chayva. We know that Loch is achrei rabim lahatay. So when Bezdin convened, you didn't need that all the dayanim should reach a unanimous verdict in order for that to be the halacha. But rather, you go baser roiv. So whatever roiv the dayanim said, that would be the halacha. How do you determine roiv? By dinei mominus, whether it's l'schus, whether it's l'chayva, as long as the majority, even a majority by one, says one way, that would be the halacha. So 2 out of 3 say zakai, zakai. 2 out of 3 say chayiv, it's chayiv. Dinei nefashis matan al pi edecha l'schus, it's true that you could have the majority even by one to make somebody zakai. So if 12 say zakai and 11 say chayiv, he will be zakai. But va'al pishnayim l'chayiv, when it comes to chayiv, you would need at least a majority of 2, so that you would need 13 saying chayiv, 10 saying zakai, right? The Gemara asked, Kasha, how is it ever possible to have the majority by 2? It's either going to be 3 or it's going to be 1. It's an odd number. How is it possible? The Gemara already took care of that in the first part. Dinei Mominus, another nafkimina, machzirin bein l'schus bein l'chayva. If after Bezdin, Paskin, the halacha, they realize that they made a mistake, the topic of Friday's daf, so they can undo what they did. They can unwind the psak, whether it's l'schus, whether it's l'chayva, it doesn't matter. There's no issues. Dinei nefashis, machzirin l'schus, Bezdin will... Sometimes they have the right to unwind the psak halacha l'schus. So if they paskin, there was a gemar din, this fellow's on death row, chayiv, they have a right afterwards to say zakai. But the ein machzir l'chayiva, once a person was exempted, double jeopardy, at that point we have no way to say that he's chayiv. Dinei mominus, hakom olam dem schus v'chayiva. When it comes to dinei mominus, everybody, and Rashi says, hakoil l'rabbis, the talmidim that were present when Bezdin would convene, they could all chime in. And one Talmud could say, I think zakai, the other Talmud could say, I think chayiv. Dinei nefashis, however, if a Talmud sees something, a svara, some evidence to make this person zakai, he can interrupt and he can state his case. But these hakoil, these Talmidim, do not have a right to chime in when it comes to chayiv. If somebody initially, at the onset of the deliberations, when the dayanim convene, thinks that Reuven is zakai in Dinei Mominus, he could change his mind and say chayiv. He could flip flop. There's nothing wrong with that. Dinei Nefashis, however, hamelamid chayiv hamelamid tzchus, aval hamelamid tzchus ein yochel lachzer ulolamid chayiv. The Mishnah says an amazing chiddush. The Mishnah says if there was a dayan who at the onset of the deliberations was of the opinion that Reuven is zakai, he doesn't deserve to be killed, at no point during this masa umatan does he have a right to change teams and suddenly start saying that I think he's chayiv. Now Rashi says it doesn't mean that at the time of the Gemar Din, when it comes to issue the verdict, he doesn't have a right to change. Of course he has a right to change. But during the Masa Umatan, he has to stick to his opinion. The Gemara is going to discuss this in detail. Dine Mominis, Donim Bayoim, V'goimrim Balayla. Dine Mominis, like all Dayanim, they have to convene initially during the day. If they want, however, to be Goimer, they could be Goimer Balayla. Dine Nefashis, however, Donim Bayoim, V'goimrim Bayoim. Not only does the Tchilas Din have to be Bayoim, but the Mardin has to be Bayim as well. Incidentally, it's Yidua the Sma. The Sma says that if there's Neroi's Dolkois, so that if the Sma didn't have electricity, but today if there'd be electricity, if there were candles, the Sma says that it would be okay to paskin dine mominis, dine nefashis, afilu belaila, gevaldige chiddush. So it's not Yoim and Laila per se. It's not Poli and Shkia and Nates and Alois. Rather, is it light or is it dark? So if it's light, even at night, says the Sma, Bezdin would be able to convene. Rav Meir Simcha, in a classic Meshech Chochmah, says that the Makar to the Sma is an Eben Ezra in Parshas Baloyischa. We know that Nevuas Moshe was only balaila. But the Eben Ezra says that b'makom ha-menoira, b'aloischa es-haneira, is b'makom ha-menoira, there Moshe Rabbeinu was able to receive nevuah, afilu b'layla. So you see that b'makom ha-or, now the Eben Ezra is talking about the or of the menoira, but b'makom ha-or, layla could sometimes be treated like day. Either way, says the Mishnah that even in this halacha, there's a chiluk between dinei mamadis and dinei nefashis. Because dinei mamadis, you only need that the tchilas din should be b'yoyim, the gemar din could be b'layla. Dine nefashis, donim bayoim, v'goymer bayoim. Another halacha, dine mamonis, goymer bayoim, bein l'schos, bein l'choyve. Dine mamonis, if Bezdin sees a case, they want to try it and reach a verdict all in the same day, they have a right to do it. Whether it's l'schos, whether it's l'choyve, it doesn't matter. Dine nefashis, goymer bayoim, l'schos, u'beyoim shalachrov l'choyve. If Bezdin is trying a case of capital punishment and they think this person does not deserve to be killed, so bayoim, they can deal with it. However, if they want to kill a person, they have to sleep on it. You need a linas laila. So when it comes to chayva, it's only biyom shalachar. L'fichach, it's for that reason, says the Mishnah, ein donin loy be'erev Shabbos v'loy be'erev yontif. It's for that reason that Bezin was never able to paskin dine nefashis be'erev Shabbos or be'erev yontif. Dine mamonis, they could. But dine nefashis, they couldn't. What's the reason? Because maybe the person's going to be chayiv and they can't issue the psak that day. They also can't do it the next day, says Rashi. Why not? Because you can't kill somebody the next day, because Dine Nefashis is not Doiche Shabbos, so therefore it would have to be pushed off another day. That's cruel and unusual punishment. There's no reason to subject this person to what the Chachamim refer to as Inui Hadin, the Tsar, of having to wait your verdict to find out what the bottom line is going to be. It's for that reason, says the Mishnah, Ein Don Eloi Be'erev Shabbos V'loi Be'erev Yontov. Dine Mominis Hatmeyois V'atahayrois Maschilim and Agadol. So when it comes to Dine Mominis, or whether it's a Bezdin that's looking at a case of Tumah V'tahayrois, so when it came time to the Dayanim to state their final opinion, they would ask the Gadol, whoever was most chashiv of these Dayanim, they would ask him first to issue his psak, and afterwards they would work their way down. Dine Nefashis, however, is different. Maschilim and Atzat. They didn't start with the most chashiv, but rather they were maschilim and Atzat. It's machlokes rishonim what maschilim and Atzat means. It doesn't mean the katan shebekulon, and you work your way up. It doesn't mean anybody as long as it's not the gadol shebekulon. But what's the svara for this? So Rashi, really quoting a sugya that we're going to see next week, Rashi says it's based on the halach of leisane al-rif. And it says in the Torah, Riv Chaser, we darshan leisana al Rav, that you're not allowed to argue with the Rav. So once the Rav says what he says, you're going to run yourself into problems. Now, by the way, does that mean that you're really not allowed to argue with the most chashiv of the Dayanim? Doesn't the Gemara say that if there's a Talmud who's sitting in front of his Rebbe and he sees his Rebbe's about to make a mistake, he should correct him? He has to correct him. There's certainly no issue of Meir Alacha b'fnei Rabbi. Right, there's so many sugyas in Shas. You have it in Erev and you have it at the beginning of Masechta Sanhedrin. So what does it mean leisana al Rav? So we're going to have to wait for next week to see more about that. And finally, says the Mishnah, Hakok, Sheirin, Lodin, Dine Mominis, everyone is kosher to Paskin, Dine Mominis, everybody. Even the Yoshvei Kronos could pass in Dine Mominis. Vena Kok, Sheirin, Lodin, Dine Nefashis, but now everybody is kosher to Paskin, Dine Nefashis. Elo, Kayhanim, Levian, the Yisraelim, Hamasin, Lakuna. And Yisrael, that was of a good Yichus, so that he was worthy to marry into the family of the Kayanim back in the day where people were sensitive to these things. So not everybody is kosher to paskin dine nefashis, whereas everybody is kosher to paskin dine mamnes. If you sit down and you do the arithmetic, the Mishnah began stating a similarity between dine mamnes and dine nefashis. What was the similarity? That echa dine mamnes, the echa dine nefashis, bedrisha ubechakira shenemar mishpat echad yilachem, stating that ma ben dine mominus ledine nefashes. And we had a whole list of things. If you count it, it seems to be 10, maybe 9. Discussion in the Gemara later in the Perek of exactly how many differences there are. But the first halacha of the Mishnah wasn't a difference between dine mominus and dine nefashes, but it was the one thing they have in common, and that is echad dine mominus veechad dine nefashes bedrusha vechakira. So when we learned the Mishnah, we translated drusha v'chakira as cross-examination, which, loosely speaking, is actually an accurate translation. The Gemara, later, on Daf Mem Amud Aleph, it's a Mishnah, it's the first Mishnah of the fifth parak, goes into greater detail. So what exactly were the drishas, and what exactly were the chakiras? Says the Mishnah, you bait genoisam b'sheva chakiras. Bezdin would do 7 chakiras. Be'ezer shavua, they would ask the Edim, what shmita of the Yovel cycle did you witness what you're testifying about? Be'ezah shana, what year in the Shemitah cycle? Be'ezah chodesh, what month? Be'kamah b'chodesh, what day in the month? Be'ezah yoim, what day of the week? Be'ezah shah, what time was it? Be'ezah mokim, and where exactly did it take place? So those 7 questions made up the Sheva Chakiros. What are the Jerishos? Jerishos, which are sometimes referred to as Bedikos, that was all the other questions that pertain to this particular Edus that the Edom were saying. But as it relates to the Chakiros were generic questions. It was a questionnaire that every Ed had to fill out. It's mentioned in the Mishnah later, Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Amud Aleph. It's Mavur in the Sugyas that the Chakiros were very important. The reason the Chakiros were very important is because one of the halachas you have in Edus is that Edus has to be Yochel Azima. Edus She'iyat Yochel Azima is not an Edus. It has to be possible that when an Ed walks into Beis Din and he testifies, for 2 Edim to be able to come and say that what your Edus, what you said, I know is not true. Because it's not possible that you saw what you say you saw, because at that time that you claim to have seen, kacha, you were with us, but more complaining in another place. And any Edus where it's not possible to satisfy a hazama wouldn't be a kosher Edus. It's for that reason there had to be chakiras. You had to know exactly where this event took place, which is one of the 7 questions, and you had to know when it took place, which were the other 6 questions. It was important to get it down literally to the minute so that it would be possible to be mazim. Otherwise, what you would have is edus she'iyat yochel azima. Either way, with that little background, zok de gemara. Dine mamnes, mi be'ina drusha v'chakira. So the Mishnah says that although it says v'darashta v'chakarka ba'dine nefashes, but it also says mishpat echad yelachem. And what do we learn from there? That Mishpat Hashava L'Kulchem. That just like Dine Nefashis, there's a halacha of the Darash to the Chakarta, so to Dine Mamanis, there's a halacha of the Darash to the Chakarta. But the Gemara said, Rabbi, I'll ask you a kasha. Shema Shtar says, Manikosim Echem Nisan, Bishmito. If somebody has a Shtar Choyv, the Shtar Choyv says that Reuven loaned money to Shimon, and when did the loan take place? It took place, Rish Chodesh Nisan, during Shmita. And 2 Edom came, and they said to the Ede Chasimo, how could you be made on the Shtar on that day that you testified this loan took place, which is Be'echad Ben Nisan in the Shemitah year? You were with us somewhere else. So what's the halacha? What would you think? So that the 2 Edom on the Havah should now have to pay Kash Hazama, right? That's Hazama 101. Says the Brais, so that's not the halacha. The halacha is Shtar Kasha. The Shtar is Kasha. The Eid of Ksherim and the Eidim are Kasha. Why? Chashino, we're concerned. Shema Ichru Vikosvu. Because how do we know that this Shtar wasn't a Shtar Mu'ukhr? So when we learned the Bavas, we spoke a lot about a Shtar Mu'ukhr. A Shtar Mukdim is always possible. A Shtar Mu'ukhr is always Kasha. So if you predate a Shtar, it's possible. If you post-date a Shtar, it's Kasha. If you predate a Shtar, it's possible, because you may come to be Torah from the Lekuchesh like you did. If you post-date a Shtar, it's Kasha, because the only one that's losing is the Malva, and if the Malva is okay with it, if he goes along with it, so there's no issue. But a post-date Shtar is Kasha. So says the Braisa, Geshmak Halacha, how could you be Mazin the Edei Chasimo, the Edom on this Shtar? Maybe they really saw the Halva. The Zman that's reflected in the Shtar doesn't work with the day that they're signing on. Because Imanu Yisim Bama complaining, maybe that's not the real day. Maybe it was post-dated. You're right. Be'echad Ben Nisan, these 2 Edom were in Chicago. And this loan, it says, took place in New York. Maybe it didn't take place Be'echa B'Nisan. Maybe it took place Be'echa B'Adar. It says Be'echa B'Nisan, but you're allowed to post-date a shtar. A post-date shtar is kosh. What's the Gemara's kasha? What does it have to do with our halacha? The is olkadaitach, if you're going to tell me, be'inan drisha v'chakira, that is halacha, that dine mominus requires drisha v'chakira. Hey, chichai shinon shema ichru v'kosvu. How do you reconcile that idea with this brisa? Because if you need chakirois, what does that mean? That means we have to know exactly when this shtar took place. You can't just have some frivolous date put in there. It's important to make sure that the Edom are telling the truth. And the way we verify whether the Edom are telling the truth is by being doirish and by being chayker. And the chakirois, which I mentioned in the Mishnah later in Daf Mem, six of them have to do with the Zman. That means you have to really pin down. You have to know from the Edom the Zman of when this Havah took place. So you know when the Zman took place. So what's this chashash then that maybe there's a Shtar Mocher? In order for the Edom testimony to have ever been admissible in court, we would have had to gone through the Chakira process, which means Beis Din knows exactly when they're saying this happened. So based on that date of whatever Beis Din determined via the Chakira, we therefore should be able to be mazim them. In other words, it's not so clear in the Gemara itself what the kash is, but the Gemara seems to think that the concept of having Chakira is by Dinei Mominus, and at the same time a Shtar Mo'ucher being kosher is something that is contradictory, says the Gemara. But ulitameich, according to your hanocha in your kasha, that there's some inherent stira between the idea that dinei mominus requires yishuv v'chakira and the idea that ashtar mocher is kasher. Why do you ask the kasher from a brisa? This brisa is a tesefta in the first parak of Masechtas Makis. Tik shalach masnisa. Why do you ask from the Mishnah? Which Mishnah? The Mishnah that's quoted throughout Shas. Whenever you find the idea of ashtar mocher, the Mishnah says shtori chay v'amukdomim psulim v'amucharin. And ask the same kasha. What's the kasha? If you can tell me, why is the shtar mocher kasher? So the Gemara says, "Olei kasha." I'll tell you why the Maksha asked from the Tosefta Masechtas Makis and not from a Mishnah that's quoted throughout Shas. The Adifa Mino Kamina, because the Maksha, the one asking the question, thought that the kasha from the Braisa, believe it or not, is a better kasha. Why? Because what was this man in the Braisa? Mishnah didn't, the Braisa didn't just mention any Zman. It was actually pretty particular with the Zman. It was Rosh Chodesh Nisan during the Shemitah year. And that's a Chiddush. You know why? I feel like Nisan b'Shemitah. It's a time that people don't usually lend money. Why not? Because Shemitah is Meshamet Chodesh. So if you're going to lend money during the Shemitah year, you have a very small window of time during which you're going to be able to collect the Chodesh. So that the Lekele Mei Meshem Echru V'chasvu. So it seems unlikely, therefore, to say that the loan really didn't happen during the Shemitah year, and this person decided to post-date at the Shemitah. The Leimar L'Shtare. Because by post-dating at the Shemitah, all you're doing is that you're putting a red flag on the Shtar. It's going to flag, because it looks like something might be a little bit fishy. That's the way Rashi explains it. Shakob Miranin and Acharav Leimar Mezuyefu. Because people don't usually lend money during Shemitah. So anytime you have a shtar during Shemitah, you have to be suspicious. Maybe the shtar is mezuyev. So every Beis Din is going to do a little bit more due diligence before they allow a shtar like this to fly, because it just seems a little bizarre. So that bishloim, if you really loaned the money on Shemitah, okay, so that's when you loaned it. For whatever reason, you decided to do that, so that's why you'll have that zman in the shtar. But to think that you really loaned the money earlier, and you decided to post-date it to a Shemitah year, it seems a little bit fishy. Therefore what? And still the Mishnah says, that you can't be mazim Eden who are testifying about ahalva, even when this man is during Shemitah, because Shema Echru, despite the fact it's so unlikely that that would happen. Why would someone post-date a shtar to a date that's going to flag? And still we are chayish, so that you see from there how far we're willing to stretch in order to come up with a scenario of shtar mo'ucher. That's why the Gemara chose to ask from the Braisa rather than ask from the Mishnah. It's true, the basic halacha that a shtar mo'ucher is kosher, that I know from the Mishnah. But you see even a bigger chiddush in shtar mo'ucher kosher in the Braisa, that we're even willing to assume that maybe this is a shtar mo'ucher and kosher when the shtar does not seem likely to be mo'ucher. Why? Because it's post-dated to a date that the average person would never post-date to. Afilo hachi, kibin the shviya, soifim, mishametes, mach shirinon. At the end of the day, it is possible that it is a shtar mo'ucher,
Because at the end of the day, Shemitah says the Gemara is Meshamed at the end of the year, not during the year. So it is possible that you loan the money. And if it's possible you loan the money, it's also possible that you would post date to that kind of day. That's what we ask from the Brisa, not from the Mishpah. The Gemara says, Mekomakum Kasha. I hear. Bottom line, you have a Kasha though. Again, what's the Kasha? This last piece of Gemara was just going through why the Gemara asked the Kasha from the Brisa and not from the Mishnah. But at the end of the day, we have a Kasha. The Kasha is the Mishnah says, Echadin Emamin is, Vechadin Enefash is Bedrisha Vechakira. And then we have the Halach of Shtar Mu'uchas Kasher. And Shtar Mu'uchas Kasher seems to contradict the concept of Chakiris, Bedin Emaminis. Because Chakiris is all about the Zman. So if we have to pin down on the Zman, then how do you reconcile that with the idea that Zman Mu'uchas Kasher? So even though there's two dots over here, the Gemara is going to continue, and we're going to see now three terutzim to this kasha. But before we turn the page, before we see the Gemara, just one aura. And this is Bederech Agav, but the Gemara got into it, so we're going to get into it as well. So the Gemara is discussing over here a loan that took place in Shemitah. And the Gemara says that really every time you see a shtar, and it says that when did this loan take place, it took place during the Shemitah year. It's a little bit fishy, it's a little suspicious. Because why would somebody lend money during the Shemitah year? But the Gemara says at the end, as much as it's suspicious, but really, you can't pass a shtar based on that. Kivan the shvi is seifa mishamet as machshirinam. Because really, although Shemitah is mishamet chayvis, and we know Shemitah knocks out a chayv, but it doesn't knock out the chayv at the beginning of the year. It knocks out the chayv at the end of the year. So Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is in the middle of the Shemitah year, you still have several months. Up until Rosh Hashanah, you have several months where you'd be able to collect on this chayv. So you still have a half a year or so to collect, so it's not so shver. But it's because Shvius is not Meshamet at the beginning of the year, it's Meshamet at the end of the year. And really, if you think about it, it's a little bit of a chiddush, because there's two types of Shemitahs. The Shemitah's Karka, and the Shemitah's Ksofen. What Shemitah's Karka? You're not allowed to work the field during Shemitah. What Shemitah's Ksofen? If you have an outstanding loan, Shemitah comes, Shemitah knocks out that loan. When does Shemitah's Karka go into effect? At the beginning of the seventh year. It's the entire seventh year. So Shemitah's Karka is the entirety of the seventh year. When is Shemitah's Ksofen? It's the end of the year. That's this Gemara. Kivin the Shvius Soifa Mishametes Machshirinam. So interesting. Shemitah's Karka is the starts at the beginning of the seventh year. Shemitah's Ksofen really starts at the end of the seventh year. Stating that, there is a Peladiga Evan Ezra on the Pasuk that discusses the Halach of Shemitah's Ksofen. So Shemitah's Ksofen is mentioned in Parashas Re'eh. It's Perek Tezvav Pasuk Aleph. The Pasuk says, Miketz Sheva Shonim Tasa Shemitah. At the end of the 7 years, Tasa Shemitah. V'zeh Dvar HaShemitah Shomai. What is Shemitah? Kobal Mashe Yodei Ashe Yashub Re'eh Lo Yigas Ez Re'eh Oves Ochiv Kikor Shemitah Lashem. There's an Isser, you're not allowed to go and you're not allowed to collect money during the Shemitah year. And the Rishonim say that really there's a Mitzvah Saseh and a Mitzvah Lo Saseh mentioned in this Pasuk. V'zeh Dvar HaShemitah. What is Shemitah? Shomoit kobal masha yodei asher yashbreyo. Mitzvah saseh. You have to relinquish your rights to collect on any outstanding loan. Then, there's a loy saseh. Lo yigois es reyeyu ve'es ochiv kikar shmita l'ashem. You're not allowed to go ahead. You're not allowed to collect. But the pasuk is pretty clear. Miked sheva shonim tasa Shemitah. When is Shemitah chal? At the end of the 7 years. That's the makar to our Gemara. Kivin the shvi es soifa mishametas machshirin. It's stating that if you take a look at the Evan Ezra, zok to Evan Ezra, miked sheva shonim tasa Shemitah betchilas hashonah. What does it mean? It begins at the beginning of the year. Frek the Rabban betchilas hashonah. It says miked. Everyone knows what Miketz means. Miketz means the end of the year. It doesn't mean the beginning of the year. Dr. Ramban, I think that Ben Ezra understood that the word Miketz does not inherently mean the end. Right? You ask the man on the street, what does Miketz mean? The end. Why? I don't know. That's what the word means. It's not what it means. Miketz is Miloshin Katsa. Mikatsa el Akatsa. From sea to shining sea. From border to border. Miketz is a border. So there's a border at the end, there's also a border in the beginning. And just like the word miketz could mean the end, the word miketz could be the beginning. The end is a katze, and the beginning is a katze as well. Zok the Ramban, the Evan Ezra, felt that has it possible that Shemitah's Ksofim is at the end of the 7 years. Doesn't make sense. When is Shemitah's Karka? It's at the beginning of the 7 years. So why should Shemitah's Ksofim be any different? It was Kedai to digress. Why should Shemitah's Ksofim be any different? So it's for that reason, the Evan Ezra said that here Miketz means the first Katsa. It's not the El Katsa, it's the Mi Katsa. Mi Katsa, La Katsa. Right? It's the first side. That's the Miketz Sheva Shonam Tasa Shemitah. Gvaldik. The problem is it's Kenegar Gemara. So the Ramban, as a Parshon, made it work. He was able to reconcile this Evan Ezra with what at first glance seems to be the wrong taich to the word in the pasuk. But there's a gemara. We just learned the gemara. It's right here. Sanhedrin lamed beis. It's a sugi mesachtes erichin as well. That shmitas ksofim is chal at the end of the year. Soifin neshametas, not the beginning of the year. So how do you understand pasuk pshat? So I saw that the Tumim in Simon Samach Zayin in Chesh Mishpat, that's where the halachas of Shemitah mentioned, the Tumim says that Pshat and Eben Ezra is based on a rush that I forgot to bring in Perek HaSheleach. The rush says the Gevaldige Chiddush. The rush says that although it's true, we know throughout Shas that Shemitah's Ksofim happens at the end of the year, the Pashup Pshat and Mikaid Shev HaShonim Taz HaShemitah, but says the rush, let's learn a little bit of Parsha. Let's go through a pasuk. Shnai Mikra. Mikaid Shev HaShonim Taz HaShemitah. At the end of the 7 years, that's when Shemitah is. V'zed v'ara Shemitah, and this is what Shemitah is. Shomayt kobal mashayode ashayashe b'reyeyo. There's a mitzvah saseh of Shomayt. You have to relinquish, walk away from the rights that you have to collect on this one. What is that? That's dvar Shemitah. When is dvar Shemitah chal? Miket shev ashonim tasa Shemitah. Come. Continues the pasuk. In addition to the mitzvah saseh, there's a lois saseh. What's the lois saseh? Lo yigoyis es reyeyo v'es ochet. You know when that's chal? Ki kara shmita l'Hashem, as soon as shmita schal. So zok the rosh a gevaldige chiddush that it's true the pasuk began miketz shev hashanim tasa shmita, but that was only referring to the mitzvah saseh that's mentioned in the next pasuk. What's the mitzvah saseh? Shomayt kobal mashayode ashayashu bereyei. But there's also a lois saseh, and the lois saseh is not miketz shev hashanim. You know when the lois saseh is? The beginning of the year. How do I know that? That's what the pasuk says. Says the rosh lo yiga says reyeyu ves achiv. Ki kara shmita l'Hashem. As soon as it becomes shmita, what shmita? The whole seventh year. In the beginning of the seventh year, that's when zok the rosh echapsach anafkemin alaloch. You know what anafkemin alaloch is? When do you write a prosbul? You write a prosbul at the beginning of shmita, or do you write a prosbul at the end of shmita? It depends. When is shmita's ksofim chal? What's the idea of a prosbul? It should allow you to be able to collect, despite the fact that shmita's ksofim. If shmita happens miketz shev hashanah v'yom echad, so you would sit down erev rosh hashanah of the Shemitah year, meaning at the end of the seventh year, Erev Shana Shminas, that's when you would sit down and you would write the prosbul. But if the Rosh is being mechadish, that there's an Issa Lo-Yigos, and the Issa Lo-Yigos is even during the seventh year, like the Pasuk says, Kikar Shemitah Lashem, as soon as it's Chal the Shemitah, that's when there's an Issa Lo-Yigos. So when then would you have to write the prosbul? You would have to write the prosbul Erev Rosh Hashanah of the Shana Shvias, Erev Shemitah. Zok the Rosh, my Psak Alach is, you have to write the prosbul at the beginning of the seventh year, not at the beginning of the eighth year. And the reason is because there's a loisaseh of loyigos, which is chal, even in the beginning of the seventh year. Incidentally, there's a tshuva from the Chassam Sofer. We spoke this out once, where the Chassam Sofer brings from his Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler. The Rav Nosson Adler didn't allow a Levi, so the Kriyas HaTorah of Sukkis, both days Sukkis and Chutz Laaretz, is Aser to Aser. And if you go through the Levi's Aliyah, so one of the psukim over there is the Iser Chodosh. The Analarit Chodosh. It says, V'lechem, V'koli, V'karmel, V'soichlu, Ad etzem ayoyim azeh, Ad aviyachem. So the Chassam Sofer said that he observed a Maiser Rav by his Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler, that there was a Levi in Beis Medrash, and he knew that he was an Nizer in Chodosh. He was an Nizer in Chodosh. And Rav Nosson Adler felt that he couldn't call him up for the Aliyah of V'lechem, V'koli, V'karmel, V'soichlu, Ad etzem ayoyim azeh, because how could he go and represent the Tzibur for this passing of the Torah when he himself is Nichshon in this passing of the Torah? So says the Chassam Sofer, he's writing a tshuva, Kayoitze Bezeh, Hoshato Hocho, this year Shnasa Shmita, it's Shmita. So he's putting out a kol koira that when we come to the Aliyah of Loyigos, Esreyeyu and Parshas Re'eh, do not give the Aliyah to a person who you know didn't write a prosbul. That's what the Chassam Sofer says. But he says, not just that, make sure that whoever gets the Aliyah wrote two prosbuls. He wrote a prosbul Erev Shana Hashvias and Erev Shana Hashminas. Erev Shana Hashminas, because that's the Pashtas, and Erev Shana Hashvias to be Yotze the Rosh, who the Rosh said a Chiddush that is a Loyigos. But either way, coming back to the Eben Ezra, says the Tumim, that's Pshat in the Eben Ezra. About that Eben Ezra knew how to teach the word Miketz, or at the very least, Eben Ezra knew the Gemara. The Gemara says that when is Shemitah's Ksofim Meshamet? It's B'Soif HaShana. How then could Eben Ezra say that this Shemitah already B'Tchilas HaShana? He's referring to the Lahigos. He means the Rosh. The Rosh who was Mechadish in Perek HaShaleach, that the laws of Shemitah's Ksofim need to be bifurcated. There's the essay on the one side, there's the Lois essay on the other side. It's Taka the essay that's at the end of the 7 years, like our Gemara, but the Lois essay is in the beginning. It's a rush, and it could be, it's also the beer, said Rabbi Yonis and Ivishis, and his Urim V'tumim, and this Peladiga Eben Ezra, in the beginning of the Perik Tezvav, and Parish Yisrael. Either way, so we had a Kasha. Again, the Kasha was, on the one hand, there's a Din Drishis the Chakir's Bedine Mamanis, and the other hand, you find that Ashtar Mu'ukh is Kasha. And again, it's not so clear what the Kasha is, but the Gemara thinks it's a steer. stira. Three terutzim. Says the Gemara, Simin Charpash. Amr Abchanin, Rav Chanina said, Dvar Torah Midai Raisa, Echadina Mamas, Echadina Nefashim, Shishu V'chakiru, Yashinam, Yishat, Yilachem. Like the Mishnah said. So you want to know the Teretz, the Mishnah is talking about Midai Raisa. Midai Raisa, it's a Pasuk. Dina Mamas requires Shishu V'chakiru. Umat HaMamru, Dina Mamas, Loibina, Shishu V'chakiru. You're right, from the Braisa and the Mishnah, that from the fact that you see that Ishtam Buch is kosher, that's a Raya, that really, you don't need drishas v'chakiros. That was all mid the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon changed the halacha. They altered the halacha. How did they have a right to do that? Hefke bezen hefke. Why did they do it? Kadesh lo tina dalos bifnei lavin. Because if you're going to say that if Reuven lends money to Shimon and now Reuven wants to collect his chayv, his edim are going to have to go through cross-examination, you know what's going to happen? Reuven's never going to want to lend money. So, Shleitino Deles Bifnei Lovin, we spoke at a lot of raid on that on Daf Gimel, if you remember. But Shleitino Deles Bifnei Lovin, the Chachamim made a takana. What was the takana? That you don't need Jewish Fakirs. Right? The Gemara Elamayato Ebazoi, Tolo Yishlamu. We're going to see tomorrow's Daf, the Gemara is going to get into real detail if a Dayan makes a mistake. There are many times that a Dayan has to pay. Right? The Gemara Gishmak Akasha. A Dayan is overseeing a Dine Mamanis. The Edom walk in, he wants to do drishas v'chakiras on the Eidim. We tell him he's not allowed to. And then later he makes a mistake. So why can't the dying come to Kayach HaTayna? He could say, if you would allow me to do my job, then I would have made sure that there was no mistake. You know why there was a mistake? Because I had my hands handcuffed. I couldn't do my job. So Toh, if he makes a mistake, lo yishlamu, why? Says Rashi, the dilma ishafkis lo lidra ishvelachkar habi ravcha lamilsa v'lehavi Toh. Because maybe had you let him do his job, this would have never happened. But the Gemara says, kol shken shatil adal spufnei lovin. You're right. In theory, you're 100% right. The problem is, if you're going to say that if a dayan makes a mistake, he doesn't have to pay out of pocket, meaning the malva is not indemnified against a mistake that the dayan makes, the malva's vayt, they're not going to want to lend any money. And you're going to have the same problem. So, shleitinol delos b'fnei lovin, we made many takonis. The halacha b'alchoyv is going with mibeninis. The idea that shleisha hedyotis, that you don't need three mumchin in order to pass in regular cases of alvois. Why? Shleitinol delos b'fnei lovin. Over here, we have two additional ones. Number one, midei raisu yishini drisha v'chakira, but we said that there's no way that the only way the malva should be allowed to collect his money is via Jewish v'chakiris, because you know what's going to happen, he's just not going to lend money. Additionally, you have this idea that even though we're not allowing Bezdin to really do their job the way they want to, still the halach is if they make a mistake, the malva is indemnified, and the reason is, again, shleitinol delos b'fnei lovin. So that's the first test. The first test to the stira is, our mishnah is going midai raisa, the idea that there's a shtar mo'ucha, that's kosher, that's only midai rabban. Ravam, Rav says, masisa d'hocha b'dine knosses. Our mishnah is talking about dine knosses. V'idach b'hidoyz v'havoyz. Meaning, it's true. Shleitin odelis b'fnei lovin. That loch is you don't need drisha v'chakira by dine mamanis. But only the types of dine mamanis that would be impacted by shleitin odelis b'fnei lovin, such as hidoyz v'havoyz. But dine knosses, for example, zeles v'chavoyz, those types of things, there's no reason in the world that you shouldn't have the halacha of drisha v'chakira. So it's working with the same yisai. That really, midei raisa, you should need Drisha v'chakira by all dinei mamanis. The reason you find shtar muchas kosher is shleitinol delos b'fnei lovin by havoyis not. The question is, how do you answer the stira? The first teretz of the Gemara was our mishnah is talking about havoyis. It's just talking on the deraisa level. The second teretz of Rava's teretz is that our mishnah is not even talking about havoyis. Our mishnah is talking about dinei knosis. Rapapa's a third teretz. Idi v'idi by dois v'havoyis. Both mishnayis are talking about dois v'havoyis. Kan bedin meruma. Kan bedin she'enei meruma. It's true. Ordinarily, shleitinol delos b'fnei lovin. Bezdin should not do drishas v'chakiras. That's why ishtar mocher is kosher. Why then do you find the idea of drishas v'chakira? Because there are times that Bezdin is supposed to enforce the din d'iraisa, and that is if they see something fishy. Din meruma means that they think that maybe something doesn't seem right over here. So when they suspect meruma, they suspect ramois, they suspect that maybe some foul play is going on, over there, they have a right to do whatever they want to do. Included in that is drishas v'chakiras. So again, mi'ikar adin, shleitin al dalas b'fnei lovin, there's no drishas v'chakiras at all. That's pshad in the Mishnah of shtar b'chakash. It's shleitin al dalas b'fnei lovin. Midai raisa. The question is, how do you understand what's our Mishnah talking about? Either our Mishnah is talking about before the Takana, or our Mishnah is talking about Knosses where the Takana doesn't apply, or the Mishnah is talking about where it's a Din Meruma. Because if it's a Din Meruma, even after the Takana of Shleitin Adalas B'fnei Lovin, if Bezin thinks that the right thing to do is Drishas V'chakiras, certainly they should go about it. And the Gemara says, Kidereish Lakish, meaning this precedence for this idea that Bezin has to treat a Din Meruma, a din where they suspect something wrong differently than an ordinary din. Rish Lakish Rami, Rish Lakish Estik Stira, Ksiv, it says in one pasuk, Bitzedek, Tishbait Amisecha, Fixiv, and it says in another pasuk, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdek. And what's this Stira? Tzedek means be righteous. Tzedek, Tzedek, you have to be super duper righteous. Meaning they have to really go out of their way to make sure they're doing the right thing. Meaning, qualitatively speaking, how much does Beis Din have to look into a situation before they issue a psak? Is it b'tzedek tishbeit amisecha? It's enough that it's one time tzedek? Or maybe you need more than one time tzedek? Maybe it's tzedek tzedek tirdev, says Rish Lakish. It's not a kash. Okay, it's a kabed meruma, kabed she'ena meruma. An ordinary din, b'tzedek tishbeit amisecha. A din meruma, where they suspect that maybe something's wrong, there it's supposed to be tzedek tzedek. Bottom line is, there's precedence already from a pasuk, no less, to b'tzedek tzedek, that sometimes din meruma is treated differently. The Mishnah that says Shrishas v'Chakiras b'dinim Mamanis, third teretz of the Gemara, is talking about where it was a din Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said Masnisin Kiddushon. As it relates to the Mishnah, any one of the three terutzim works for me. Kroy, but as it relates to the pasuk, we had the stira. One pasuk says Besedik Tishbeit Amisecha. The other pasuk says Sedik Sedik Tirdoiv. So Hedrich Lakish answered the stira. One is talking about an ordinary din. The other one is talking about a din meruma. So Rav Ashi said I have a different teretz. Echad the din, the echad lipshara. One pasuk is talking about din, the other pasuk is talking about pshara. The Gemara is going to explain it in detail. But what it means is that sometimes Beis Din's job is to try to find out who's right and who's wrong. Sometimes Beis Din's job is to try to come up with a good compromise. And the tzedek tzedek is not qualitatively be'echos how much tzedek. Then you would have a stira. Because one pasuk says tzedek, ein mol tzedek. The other pasuk says tzedek, tzedek, tzvei mol tzedek. So it's just a little bit of righteousness, or it is a lot of bit of righteousness. Zok Rav Ashi, it's not what tzedek, tzedek means. Tzedek, tzedek doesn't mean the sheer of tzedek. It's referring to two different types of approaches that Beis Din is supposed to take, and regardless of which approach they take, it has to be tzedek. How much tzedek? One time tzedek. But tzedek tishbet amitzecha. The tzedek tzedek means it should be tzedek whether it's din, it should be tzedek whether it's pshara. Kidetanya, and the Gemara says, I'll give you an example of when Beis Din should sometimes pursue din, and when Beis Din should sometimes pursue compromise. Tanya learned to the Braisa, tzedek tzedek tirdoif echelin vechel pshara. One tzedek is referring to din, the other tzedek is referring to pshara. Ketzad, an example. Shtei svidois oivres benot. There were two ships, and they were passing at sea. And there was a very narrow route that both ships were trying to go through. Now, if both of them were trying to go at the same time, side by side, they were both drowned. If they would do it one after the other, they'd be able to cross. Or, similar case, if there were two camels, they were trying to go up a very narrow mountain. If both of them would go up at the same time, they'd both fall. So the question is, so how do we decide which one goes up first? If a shayla like this would be brought to Beis Din, how would Beis Din know what to do? Says the Braisa, this is what Beis Din would do. If one of them is carrying a load and the other one is not carrying a load, so the one that's carrying the load, that's the one that's supposed to go first. Or kreiva v'she'ena kreiva, if one was a little close and the other one was a little further, tidache kreiva v'she'ena kreiva. The one that's in a kreiva, that's the one that has a longer route, that's the one that should go first. Hayishteim kreiva, yishteim rechaikis. What if they're both next to each other? Or they're both far, meaning they're both equidistant from where they're trying to go. It's not like one is a little closer to its destination than the other. Hatel pshara b'nei. In that case, they make a pshara. Umayla schar zuluzo. Meaning, let one go first, and any hefsid that may come about, you're using more fuel, I'm not sure what the hefsid is, but any hefsid that the other one is going to get by being the second one to cross, they'll have to make up to the first one with a pshara. Meaning, if there's a din, if there's a real way to go about this pshara, go about it the real way. And if there's no real way to go about it, then hatel pshara b'nei. Go about it via pshara. Bottom line is, Beis Din sometimes has to use the fifth of Shulchan Aruch. Sometimes they have to make a pshara, and those are the two tzedeks. So it's not one tzedek for a din meruma, one tzedek for a din she'ena meruma, which was Rapapa's teretz to the stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah of Shtam Ucher. Rather, Rav Ashi said the two tzedeks are referring to two approaches that Beis Din will sometimes take. One time Beis Din will take the approach of din, and one time, sometimes Beis Din will take the approach of pshara. Zok the Gemara. On that note, on this pasuk of tzedek tzedek, I'll tell you a third pshat of what tzedek tzedek might mean. Tzedek tzedek tirdoiv holach as Beis Din yafa. It's not talking to the dayan. It's not telling the dayan how to go about his business. tzedek, tzedek, do a lot of due diligence, like in the case of a din maruma, or tzedek, tzedek, sometimes din, sometimes pshara, but it's talking about the bali dinim themselves. If two people have a din Torah, and they have to go to a bezdin, says the Torah, tzedek, tzedek, tirdo, if you should run after, go find the best bezdin, a bezdin yof. For example, Acher Rabbi Eliezer Lud, go to Rabbi Eliezer's Bezdin in Lud, and Acher Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai Bar Chayil, or follow Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's Bezdin in Bar Chayil. Tana, we mentioned Bar Chayil, which was a place. So parenthetically, says the Gemara, I'll tell you a brisa where Bar Chayil was mentioned. Kol Rechayim Baburni, the brisa said that if you heard the noise of a windmill in Burni, Shavua Ben, Shavua Ben. It means it's a Shavua Ben. Rashi says, what is a Shavua Ben? It's a Bris Mila. Why is Bris Mila called Shavua Ben? Because it happens at the end of the Shavua, at the end of the week. At the end of 7 days, it's with a Ben, it's with a son. That's why it's called Bris Mila. If it sounds familiar, Shavua Ben, it's because we spoke about this at length in the end of Chesek Sabbath, above a Basra, Daf Sam, Chomet Bez. We spoke at a lot of rain on this. So if somebody heard a Kol Rechayim in Burni, in that city, it meant it was a Bris. Why would they have to have a Kol Rechayim to symbolize Bris? Zerashi says, Taisva says it as well, quoting Yerushalmi, this was Beshasa Shmad, there was a Xero where you weren't allowed to do Bris Mila. So if they wanted people to congregate for Bris Mila, they couldn't announce that there's a Bris Mila. So what they do is there would be a Kol Rechayim, and the Kol Rechayim, that would be the way for people to know that there's a Bris Mila. Would they do this in Burni? Or Haner B'Bur Chayil, if there's an Or Haner in Bar Chayil, all of a sudden you see Neri's Dokas, there's lights all over the place. Mishtasham, Mishtasham. It means there's a party going on. Rashi doesn't explain what kind of party, but if you look at Tosfos, Tosfos says it's talking about Bris Mila. In fact, Tosfos says, Mikan Nagu Lahadlik Ner B'Mila. This is the minig that you put Neri's by Bris Mila. It comes from this, because that was the minig at that time that in Bar Chayil, if they wanted to tell the world that there's a Bris Mila, how would they tell the people in Bar Chayil? By starting to light Neri's. So we mentioned Holach Acher Rabbi Yechem Zakkai Bar Chayil. Rabbi Yechem Zakkai is best than one is in Bar Chayil. Agav Urchi, a brisa that says that during the Shasa Gzeira, when they wanted to tell people that there was a Bris Mila going down in Bar Chayil, what they would do is they would light candles. They would sound the windmill in Burni, and there would be Or Haner in Bar Chayil. Zok the Gemara Tan Rabban. Tzedek Tzedek Tirt. Holach Acher Chachamim LeYeshiva. You should follow. You should Lekatchila. If possible, try to go to the top bezdin. Acher Rabbi Eliezer Lelut, Acher Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai LeBar Chayil, Acher Rabbi Yeshua the Pekiyan, Acher Rabbi Gamliel LeYavna, Acher Rabbi Akiva LeBnei Brak, Acher Rabbi Masya LeRoimi, Acher Rabbi Chananya Ben Shradion LeSichni, Acher Rabbi Yosi LeTzipori, Acher Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseir LeNetzivin, Acher Rabbi Yeshua LeGoyva, Acher Rabbi LeBei Shaorim, and Acher Chachamim LeLishkas Hagazos. So we have over here a list of different Gedoyle Yisrael who had their courts set up in different cities, and the Brice over here says that you want to go to a Chashiv Abezdin, you should go to one of these Batei Dinim, whether it's Rabbi Eliezer and Lud, Rabbi Chanzak and Bar Chayil, etc., etc. So just a few Ha'aris. Number one, Rabbi Akiva and Bnei Brak. So we all know Rabbi Akiva was the Rav in Bnei Brak. Maisa, we say it in the Agoda. This happened in Rabbi Akiva's hometown. Bnei Brak was Rabbi Akiva was. But not everybody knows, by the way, that Bnei Brak is mentioned in Tanakh. You know that? So where's Bnei Brak mentioned? In Sefer Yeshua. So when the Pasuk talks about Lamate Bnei Don L'mishpacha Yisrael, so Yeshua Ben Nun, Allah's a Kangada, they're dividing the land. So Bnei Don got the Geirul Hashvi. Vayihi Gvul Nachalasa. Tzara, the Eshtoil, the Ir Shamish, the Shaladin, the Ayolin, the Yisla, the Elon, the Simnasa, the Ekroin, the Eltike, the Gibson, Uvalos, the Yehud, Ubnei Brak, the Gasrimoin, Umei Hayarkin, the Harakim, and Gvul Mul Yofa. So Bnei Brak's already mentioned in the Torah. It's mentioned in Yeshua Perik Yates, but either way, Rabbi Akiva, as we know, was Rav in Bnei Brak. Another interesting note, just in this Braisa, is Acharab Masyol Roimi. So Rav Masya lived in Roimi. What's interesting is that the Jews made up an important part of the Roman Empire. I've heard, I don't know that this is true, but I've heard, it's the conventional wisdom, that the Jews made up 10% of the Roman population at the height of the Roman Empire. Zman Churban Bayesheni, over that, those few hundred years. But the point is that the Jews were very prominent in Rome. Stating that, you don't find many Gedolim. You find that they visited Rome for political reasons. Obviously, they were going to be in Rome. There are some Gemaras that talk about that. Different Tanoim, Shubai Choy visited Rome. You find different Tanoim that visited Rome. But that someone should, his yeshiva should, what did he learn? I learned in Rome? That's something that you don't really find. But here you have a braisa, Acher Rab Masya L'Roimi. What's interesting is that years later, there would be many very prominent Gedolim that were in Rome. The Sfarnu was Rav in Rome. Rabbi Vadya Bar Tanura, the Rab Bar Tanura was in Rome. The Baal Shibali Aleka was Rav in Rome. The Baal Ha'aruch, the Sefer Aruch was Rav in Rome. So there were Gedolim that were Rav in Rome that lived there. A lot of Torah came from Roimi. But Bimei Tanoim, it's amazing how scarce it is. But here you have a Braisa. Acharab Masya L'Roimi. Incidentally, if you take a look at the Margolis Hayam, he claims that this is not the real Roimi. It's really Roima. It's a city, a suburb somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. But the Pashtus is, we're definitely talking about Roimi. Either way, but just a few more horrors. The first one mentioned this Braisa is Rabbi Eliezer. Etc. I saw the Ben Yoda asks that why was Rabbi Eliezer mentioned first? In fact, if you go through the Seder over here, it just seems to be like very out of order. First, Rabbi Eliezer is mentioned first. Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh is mentioned second. We know the Mishnah says in Ovis, Chamisha Talmidim Hayu Leil Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh, and one of them was Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer is a Talmud of Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh, and somehow he's mentioned before Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh, just that in general, if you go through the Cheshbon over it, it's not clear, but Rabbi Eliezer is definitely mentioned third. First, Azoi Shtelzach de Ben Yoyada. So I was thinking that it could be the reason Rabbi Eliezer is mentioned first is because we know Rabbi Eliezer is Shamuti. Talocha never follows Rabbi Eliezer. And why does Talocha never follow Rabbi Eliezer? Because Rabbi Eliezer was Mekamida Beishamach, Taisfis, and Perik Rabbi Eliezer de Milo, quotes a Yerushalmi that says that the reason that Loch is never like Rabbi Eliezer is because Rabbi Eliezer was Mitamide Bishamai and we pass like Bisilo. We don't pass like Bishamai. Oy bazoy, I think this is very obvious to Shtel. And that's a Gemara Besechtes, Erevin, Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara says that for 3 years, the Talmidim of Shammai and the Talmidim of Hillel fought. Halalu Oimrim, Halacha Kimayseinu. Vahalalu Oimrim, Halacha Kimayseinu. And it got so bitter, this argument did, as we've spoken about at length in the past, that it required a Basco to finally come and resolve this dispute. Yotzeh Basco va'amra elu ve'elu divrei likim chayim va'alocha kibesil. The alocha is like besil. Says the Gemara, and I'm skipping. Ne'maz zochu besil likvay alocha kimoisom. Why was the alocha like besil? Mepnei shenoichin va'aluvin hoyu. Because they were better balei midos. Ve'shoinen divreiim ve'divrei beishamai. Some the loyoid, elishem makdim and divrei beishamai ledivreiim. That whenever they would mention something they said, and something beishamai said, they would always mention beishamai before they would mention themselves. Ka'osah sheshaninu. And the Gemara brings a misha yeroish of Rebbe Basuka. Vishulchani b'teichabayis beishamai poislin ubeis hillel machshirim. Amru beis hillel beishamai loykachoyo maisa shahochu zikne beishamai v'zikne beis hillel levakas Rebbe Yechanan hachurnes. So you see over there that beishamai is mentioned before beis hillel. And by the way, you know what you see over there? Number one, with regards to the halacha, beishamai is mentioned first. First beishamai, then beis hillel. And not just that, in the maisa. Shahochu zikne beishamai v'zikne beis hillel. Even in the story, we mention beishamai before we mention beis hillel. And this is true kemat throughout Chas. As a matter of fact, a few exceptions to the rule where you find Beis Hillel mentioned before Beis Shammai, I am B'Tosfos Yontif. Look around in the Mefarsh, they're all going to be bothered why Beis Hillel is mentioned before Beis Shammai. It's a Gemara, Erevin Yud Gimel Amid Beis, that Beis Shammai was always mentioned before Beis, even with the Maisa, Zikne Beis Shammai, and then Zikne Beis Hillel. It's Pashit. You have a Bryce, you're going to mention a whole bunch of Tanoim. Who do you mention first? First, you mentioned Rebbe Eliezer. And the truth is, right, you find this prakim in Shas that start Rebbe Eliezer, Perik Rebbe Eliezer de Milo. There's two prakim in Mesechtes Shabbos that are called Perik Rebbe Eliezer. Who's Rebbe Eliezer's famous Bal Plukta in Shas? Rebbe Yeshua. There's no Perik Rebbe Yeshua in Shas. It's always Perik Rebbe Eliezer. Why? Because Rebbe Eliezer comes before Rebbe Yeshua. I think because Rebbe Eliezer is meant to be the Beshamai. Who's the first Tana mentioned in Shas? First Mishnah, Brochus da Bezam and Aleph. Numero uno. Who's the first Tana mentioned in Shas? It's Rabbi Eliezer, different Rabbi Eliezer. He's the first Tana mentioned in Shas, because he was Talmidei Beishamai. This Prokim in Shas, Perik Beishamai. You have Perik Beishamai in the end of Masechtes Yevamos. You have Perik Beishamai in Masechtes Nos. You have a Perik Beis Hillel? No, of course there's no Perik Beis Hillel. Because if there's Beishamai, there's going to be Beis Hillel, and Beishamai is going to be first, right? So you always have Beishamai before you have Beis Hillel. I'll tell you a Dover Chodosh. I tell you something interesting. I saw the Tosfos Rid in Masechtes Shabbos Daf Tezvav says that the reason Beishamai is always mentioned before Beis Hillel is because we know Beishamai was Mechadid Ditfei. The Gemara says in Masechtes Yevamos that really the Talmidim of Shammai was smarter than the Talmidim of Hillel. That's where Rabbi Chanan says, "Lasid lovei that loch is going to be like Beishamai when Mashiach comes." Right? When Mashiach comes, loch is going to be like Reb Shimon Ba'ichai. Even though whenever Reb Shimon Ba'ichai argues with his Baal Plukta in Shas, who's Reb Shimon? Stam Reb Shimon in Shas is Reb Shimon Ba'ichai. Who's Reb Shimon's mate primary? I hope Ari is listening. Who's Reb Shimon's primary Baal Plukta in Shas? Reb Yehuda. And whenever there's a machlokes, Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, who's the halacha like? It's not like Reb Shimon. Stating that, Reb Yosi and Reb Yehuda, by the way, stating that when Mashiach comes, the halacha is going to be like Reb Shimon. When Mashiach comes, Halacha is going to be like Beis Shammai. Why says Rabbi Chanan? Because really Beis Shammai was much smarter. Nervous, right now we're not ready for Beis Shammai. He says a whole theory why. But La'asud Lava, Yumalar, it's there. At that point, Halacha is going to follow Beis Shammai. But Beis Shammai is really Mechadad Itvei. And really, Klap Ishmael, La'asud Lava. When Tishbi, Yataritz, Kushes, Vabayas, who's the Halacha going to be like? The Halacha is going to be like. The Halacha is going to be like Beis Shammai. That's why Beis Shammai is mentioned first. Why then is the Halacha like Beis Hillel? Because of the Baskel. What was Pshat in the Baskel? Beis Hillel was the Roif. That's Rabbi Yosef Engel. Roif HaKamos versus Roif HaEchos. Right? Quality versus quantity in Halacha. Right? Rabbi Yosef Engel says that was the argument. Right? The Gemara says that for 3 years Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argued. Halacha Kemaisenu or Halacha Kemaisenu? What do you mean they argued for 3 years if the Halacha is like, of course. If Beis Shammai says Beis Shinal the Beyantiv is like this, and Beis Hillel says the Beis Shinal the Beyantiv is like that. If Beis Shammai has this Shir Sukkah, Beis Hillel has that Shir Sukkah. Take any Sadim Betzitzis, any Machloikas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel and Shad. Obviously, Beis Shammai holds Halacha Kemaisenu and Beis Hillel holds Halacha Kemaisenu, right? I don't think Beis Shammai said their halacha, but really held halacha was like Beis Hillel. So, what does it mean for 3 years they argued? Beis Shammai said, we're right. Beis Hillel said, we're right. Sounds like there was this independent machloikis, besides for the micro machloikis of whatever detail they were discussing, there was a more macro machloikis. Halacha Kemaisen, halacha Tzokra Beis Hillel, you know what they were arguing? Reiv HaKamos versus Reiv HaEchos, that's what we were arguing. They knew, everyone knew Beis Hillel was the majority. Beis Hillel had much more supporters than Beis Shammai did. But qualitatively, Beis Shammai was Mechadad Itvei. So Beis Shammai said, Halacha Kemaisenu, I have Raya. For 3 years, they were varfing Raya's Reiv HaEchos. And Beis Hillel said, no, Halacha Kemaisenu, we have Raya's Reiv HaKamos. They couldn't even agree on that. It's Gevaldik. But that was the separate Machloikas for 3 years. Reiv HaKamos versus Reiv HaEchos. Gevaldik. Either way, it could be that's what Elias has mentioned first. And you're going to tell me, this is frivolous. We're just discussing who's best to go to. No, first of all, it's a braisa. And second of all, you see in that Gemara, Ziknei Beis Shammai comes before the Zik. But there's one problem with this. You know what the problem is? The braisa mentions Rabbi Akiva. And Rashi says in Masech, this Bava Metzia Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, this might be the Shvers, the Rashi and Shas, not the most lumdish Rashi and Shas, but this is like from the most difficult, it's a pella that Rashi can say something like this. Rashi says, Rabbi Akiva was Mitalmidei Beis, Shammai. It's a Rashi. Look it up. Perek HaMafkid Bava Metzia Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. So Rabbi Akiva is Mitalmidei Beis Shammai. Rabbi Akiva is also mentioned here. Rabbi Akiva is not mentioned. Not sure. Either way, but that is the next story. Just one final ha'ara, and we'll end with this. And that is, so you have over here the Korei Chaim and the Oir Haner. So when there was a Bris Milah, when there was a Bris Milah in Burni, they would sound the coil of the Rei Chaim. When there was a Bris Milah in Bror Chayil, so they would have an Oir Haner. That would be the way that people would know Mishdasham. Rashi says the why the Kol Rechaim, why not the Kol of something else? So Rashi says because it's actually a symbolism of Bris Milah in the color of a Chaim. Because when a baby had a Bris Milah, they would have to prepare medication. How would they have medication? They would grind the medication. That's why you're not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. Simen Shin Chav Ches and Hilcha Shabbos is Refuah B'Shabbos. Why is Refuah B'Shabbos Aser? Because we're afraid that you may go and be Meshachik Samamonim, you may go grind the Samamonim, because that's what they used to do. So the Kol Rechayim, which is somewhat symbolic of a Bris Milah anyways, that's what they would do. So you have this idea of the Kol Rechayim in Burni, and you have the Oir Haner, which was in Bror Chayil. I'm going to tell you a pasuk that you probably never heard. Yirmiyo Perichafei. So Yirmiyo, right? We just learned the Gemara recently, where the Gemara said that Elmole Chati Yisrael in the Darim Chavez Amid Beis that Leinit Lam Elach Hamishet Chumshet Toyer V'Sefin Yisrael Bavad. Why? Because the majority of the Neviim Uksuvim is all Teichacha. So this is a classic where Yirmiyo Perichafei is talking to the Yidden and he explains to them that if you don't do tshuva, Nevuchanetzar Melech Bavel is going to come. He's going to lay siege to the land. He's going to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. He's going to take you into Galus. And the pasuk says V'Havadeti Mehem. Kol sasim v'kol simcha, kol chasim v'kol kala, and the pasuk continues. Kol rechayim v'oir haner. So this pasuk. So you have kol sasim v'kol simcha, kol chasim v'kol kala, kol rechayim v'oir haner. So Rashi, kol rechayim simin ulasudas bris mila al shein shetoychanim v'sheichin lo samimana l'refuah. Oir haner simin mishta. Unbelievable. So you have this Kol Rechayim and the Oir Haner was already mentioned in a Pasuk. It's a Pasuk in Yirmiyo, Perek Chav Hey. So these Minhagim and Bar Chayil and Burni seems like some random thing that who knows exactly when it happened. Apparently, this was already a minig that dated back much earlier. And the Teichacha of Yirmiyo, the Klola was that not only won't there be Kol Sasim and Kol Simcha, Kol Chazim and Kol Chalo, but even the Kol Rechayim and the Oir Aner, even that will be bottled.